ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम नमस्ते अस्तु भगवन् विश्वेश्वराय महादेवाय त्र्यंबकाय त्रिपुरांतकाय त्रिकालाग्निकालाय कालाग्निरुद्राय नीलकंठाय त्युंजयाय सर्वेश्वराय सदाशिवाय श्रीमन्महादेवाय नमः ओम श्रीमामहेश्वराभ्याम नमः ओम नमो भगवते श्री अपीतकुचाम्बा समेत शरणाश्लेश्वर परब्रह्मणे ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात्
So we let us do Ankur's persons 3 times. Why him? We're doing Mutanjaya. Just 3 times we'll do.
Om Hrim Namah Shivaya Om Trambakaya Jamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Rutyor Mukshiyam Amrutat Om Hrim Namah Shivaya ॐ त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ॐ ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ॐ त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम शांति 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 ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतो सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः यशेम देवहितै यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो रुद्रश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
In this Advaita Prakaranam of Mandukya Upanishad, in order to present the Upanishadic vision, in order to give the Upanishadic vision of the non-duality of the reality, Gaudapada Acharya establishes here the reality being distinct from both cause and the effect, and for which he has to negate the very creation. If the reality is distinct from the cause, he has to say that there is no reality, is not the cause. Therefore, for us to understand reality being not the cause, this universe being universe also has to be, the universe has to be the manifestation, not the creation. So for which he has to negate the creation at four levels. He negated Jiva, the creation of Jiva, logically, scripturally. He also negated the creation of universe, logically. Then 15th Karika onwards, he has been presenting the negation of creation of the universe, scripturally, support of the scripture. And we have seen also from 15th verse Karika onwards, but later on from 17th to 22nd, in between is a small a deviation of the teaching, the sense, he wants to show how if this Dvaitam is taken to be the absolute reality, how it will result in, it lead to the consequences of the emotional entanglement, emotional problems, etc. Then also he presented logically also how Dvaitam is not possible. Dvaitam will not be the fact. Dvaitam is an apparent reality, is not absolute reality. That also he presented. I can briefly say what he implied in those verses. See, where there is Dvaitam, in cause also there is Dvaitam in potential form. In effect also there is Dvaitam in manifest form. So where there is Dvaitam, there will be insecurity and there will be fear. Where there is fear, there will be jealousy and there will be ragadveshas. Then all these things, this duality resulting in, insecurity and fear, thereby the comparison, and thereby there will be fear, and then there will be the ragadveshas, and all of them together form what actually samsara. So Dvaitam implies only samsara. In Dvaitam there is bondage, there is no freedom. That is as a consequence of understanding or accepting Dvaitam as absolute reality. He presented in some verses. And later on, one thing, importantly, what we have to remember is this discovery of moksha. Actually, when you say the discovery of moksha, is actually a journey. A journey is not a physical journey. There is a journey from bondage to freedom. And this journey involving the journey from bondage to moksha is not the journey from dvaitam to dvaitam. Not a journey from duality to duality. In Ajna, it's a journey from, when you say journey from bondage to freedom, is actually a journey from dvaitam to advaitam. Because you start with dvaitam, you start with ajnanam, you start with bondage. And it has to culminate in the discovery of moksha, which is advaitam. Advaitam and moksha you have to take as one and the same. And this journey from bondage to freedom is a journey from dvaitam to advaitam. And this journey from dvaitam to advaitam is actually a journey from ignorance to knowledge. Therefore, it is only a cognitive shift. It is not the physical really journey where we cover the physical distance, which does not involve time and space. And one thing he also made very clear, even the temporary moksha such as going to heaven, etc., the heaven also there is duality, because heaven, there is no such a thing called eternal heaven. If you say this eternal heaven, heaven which exists within time and space, anything which exists within time and space cannot be eternal. And Pujya Swamiji always mentions this. Some person, somebody comes and tells him, I was in meditation and I had a trance in meditation and I experienced eternal, I was eternal for a few seconds, few minutes. He comes and tells, that means what does he understand by using the word eternal and experiencing it, I was eternal, I had the experience that I was eternal for a few seconds. And then I remain, and I was immortal for 3 months. It's funny, isn't it? So, therefore, no such a thing called, even heaven also, going and coming, it involves time, where the time and space comes, division comes. We studied in Dakshinamurti Stotram very clearly. Desha kala kalana vaichitra chitrikritam. You remove the time and space, there will be non-duality. Understand? The duality will disappear. The plurality will disappear. So the plurality and duality, there's no absolute plurality. There is apparent plurality. The plurality is apparent. The duality is apparent. We are not denying the duality, but only apparent. Remove the time and space, there is non-duality. You fall asleep, there is no time, there is no space, there is no dvaitam. Division is brought about by time and space, really speaking. Understand? Therefore, what about this moksha, this heaven then? Heaven also, there's a time when you go to, where you have to perform karma, practice meditation, and you accumulate punyam in time, and then as a result of that punyam, the scripture says, talk about attainment of heaven, enjoyment of heavenly pleasures, remaining there for a long time. It's a time duration. When the punyam gets exhausted, you will have to come back. Means it involves what? Time and space. Isn't it? There's a travel involved. Therefore, anything which exists, which fall within the realm of time and space, what actually there is duality. And where there is duality, there is no moksha, there is only bandha, bondage. Therefore, that is not eternal. That's also mentioned in the previous class. We saw that also earlier. Now, it is again the 23rd verse onwards. Now, the rest of the verses, he is going back to the actual topic of negation of the creation with support of scriptures. There is no creation. There is only manifestation. When there is no creation, and we have to remember that he uses the Adhyarupa Apavada Prakriya for negating the creation, thereby to help arrive at the fact of the reality being distinct from the cause, reality being not the cause. Now we'll see this. We continue with the same topic now. Bhutato bhutato vapi srijyamane samashrutihi nischitam yukti yuktancha yattad bhavati netarat. Okay. See, here Gaudapada Acharyaji answers this question. What is the question? Upanishads discuss Srishti. It's a Srishti topic present in all the Upanishads. And Upanishads very clearly state also the Jagat has come into existence from Brahman. In all the Upanishads, when Upanishads state that, should we take it as then real or not? Upanishad says, therefore, Srishti must be taken as real. Taittiriya Upanishad very clearly states, every Upanishad presents the Srishti, different ways it presents. And here, Gaudapada Acharyaji makes it very clear. How should we understand this Shruti? When Shruti presents a Srishti, the creation, discusses the creation of the universe, Shruti discusses the creation mainly to negate later on the very creation. Not to accept the creation, but to negate the creation. And how to understand that, how to understand the fact of the Shruti presents the creation only for negating the creation, not for proving or establishing the creation being real. Shruti does not present the creation for establishing the creation, the reality of the creation. It presents the creation, discusses the creation mainly to negate the creation, that there is no creation. So what is the fact? How to arrive at this fact of Upanishads presenting, discussing the Srishti ultimately to negate it? How to understand it? For which Gaudapada Acharya says, how to see that? That is why you need a sampradaya, you need traditional teacher, no? You need a methodology, you need to study the scripture systematically. Otherwise, we'll get confused. In fact, whether it is any prasthanatrayam, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Shrutihi, Smritihi, or Nyaya, any prasthanam should be, when you study them, they should be studied systematically, studied with the help of the teacher. Otherwise, definitely you will get confused. You will have your own misconceptions. What even in Puranas, for example, in Ramayanam presents, Ravana had 10 heads. Mahabharatam states, Draupadi married 5 husbands. All these things need to be interpreted correctly. Otherwise, what will happen, you will have your own interpretation. If you read the literal translations, reading the literal translation of the mantras or even the scriptural, the religious literature, then what happens, you will have all wrong ideas and confusion, it will lead to confusions. It is very dangerous. It has to be understood correctly. Similarly, Upanishads. That's why there's a method, they say, there's a verse which you can understand. You can write out the verse, I'll write out that verse, but keep it in your memory. There are five factors involved to arrive at the final conclusion. What is actually conveyed by any text? What are the actual values presented in Ramayanam? What is the actual message presented in Mahabharatam? What is that which is expected, on a part to understand from Upanishads? What is the final message? What is the fact that has to be understood, which will be useful for our emotional maturity, our fulfillment of moksha? Everything. Namaste. What is that needed? That's why we have this. Upakramaha. Upakramo. Can I write down? Upakramaha. The six factors. Upakramaha, upasamharaha, abhyasaha, apurvata, phalam, arthavadaha, upapattihi. Six. What is it? Upakramaha, upasamharaha, abhyasaha, apurvata, phalam, arthavadaha, upapattihi. So, lingam tatparya nischaye. Tatparya nischayaha. Tatparya nischayaha means for being definite about the fact conveyed by the Upanishad or any scriptural literature. These are the six factors. Now, how to arrive at the final fact? What is the fact, what actually is conveyed there? To arrive at that, you need to use these six factors. Therefore, we have to read, when you read the Upanishad, you have to read what is said before, what is said before, what is going to be said later on. Understand, there must be a comprehensive study of the entire text. Then you see in the right context, you understand what is actually said. Suppose somebody reads only the Srishti Prakriya of Taittiriya Upanishad. One day a person comes and sits in the class or doesn't come to the class. He takes some trial, reads the book, Upanishad. Somebody tells, you read Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said there, the universe has come into existence from Brahman and this is the quotation. They also quote. This person goes and reads, yes, definitely it says, there's a translation available. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akasha sambhutaha akashadvayuhu vayo ragnihi agnerapaha adhya prithivi prithivya oshadayaha oshadibhyo nam annat purushaha. It is said there, reads this passage, very nice. He chants it also very well, swaras, understands. Then he makes the conclusion. What is that? Jagat has come into existence from Brahman, which means Brahman is Jagat Karanam. Is the conclusion he makes. So you should not do that. What Shastram says is, see what is said in the beginning, Upakramaha. And what is said at the end, Upasamharaha. And what are the Arthavada Vakyas, na? What is that sometimes certain story is said in the middle. The meditative techniques are presented in the middle. So see what is said. There is a Simha Avalokana Nyaya used in teaching. You have, therefore, the revision is very important. You have to see what has been said before, what is going to be said later on, understand what is said in the present context, isn't it? Then only you have to come to the nischayaha, conclusion. Tatpariya nischayaha means the final message conveyed by the Upanishad, isn't it? To arrive at it, you need to see what now? You have to see where is it said, when is it said, how is it said, why is it said? All this should be very clear. Simply reading it, taking something, should not conclude. Same Taittiriyam, it is said also what? First he says Annamayaha is Atma. With Annamayaha Atma means what? The boy, physical body is Atma. Upanishad says that. When presenting the analysis of Panchakoshas, five layers of personality, Annamayaha is said to be Atma. Then he goes on to saying, then Pranamayaha is Atma, Manomayaha is Atma. Then we'll get confused or what? You have to have comprehensive study is very important. You have to understand the interpretations now very carefully. Isn't it? It has been interpreted carefully, understood carefully also. That is why these lingas are presented. These six factors are given as a clue to arrive at the final message of the scripture literature. Okay? So that he wants to say here. When the Upanishad presents whether Srishti, Upanishad only says this. What does the Upanishad say? The universe has come into existence from Brahman. We saw already last class very clearly. That means the whole universe becomes the karyam effect. Once you analyze the karyam, then you search for the karanam, and then you resolve the karyam in the karanam. Then you negate there is no karyam. Once there is no karyam, when you say, then karanam status also becomes negated. This is what this Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, isn't it? So here, when the Upanishad says the universe has come into existence from Brahman, universe only states that much. Universe does not say universe is real, or does not say universe is unreal or mithya also. We have to be very careful. It says universe has come into existence from Brahman. But does the Upanishad say universe is satyam? No. Does it say universe is mithya? No. Doesn't say both. It only says universe has come into existence from Brahman. Which means it is not partial. If universe is mithya, if you say it is Advaitin's view. Universe is satyam, you should say it is Dvaitin's view. So Upanishad is neither supportive of Dvaiti nor supportive of Advaiti. It only presents the Srishti, discusses Srishti for a given purpose. There's a methodology, it's a teaching methodology. Understand? So the teaching methodology is he says here, when Upanishad does not say anything, you need not arrive at the conclusion. Upanishad does not say universe is real, the creation is real. Upanishad does not say the universe is unreal or mithya. Therefore, how can you come to the conclusion? Upanishad just presents the Srishti, therefore it is real. You can't arrive at the conclusion like that. Isn't it? Which means you should use your always Upanishadic statements must be understood. What now? Analyzed logically, then arrived at the conclusion. You are supported by your reasoning. That is what the Gaudapacharyaji says here. Always use your reasoning. Anything which contradicts your reasoning should be denied. You need not accept. You need not accept, you should not accept anything which contradicts your reasoning. You need not accept it. If I say I have become very, very thin, starving for many days, even if I have been starving for many days, you may believe. You can believe, that also be difficult to believe. But when you say I become very thin, and then you will see what now. Politely you may accept because I am saying, but no, because your perception hits you there, don't accept. Why? The statement contradicts your reasoning. Why? Because your knowledge, the perception, it doesn't contradicts your perception. So anything which contradicts your reasoning need not be, should not be accepted. So use your, so what he says here,
bhutato bhutato vapi. Srijyamane samasrutihi.
Srijyamane samasrutihi.
Whether anything which connects to reasoning is acceptable or not, what is said here, if it contradicts your reasoning, you need not accept it. That's what he says. Then what should be taken as a fact? That's what he says. Bhutataha abhutataha va api srijyamane sama shrutihi. See, bhutataha means real. No, it talks about the universe being real. Abhutataha. See, abhutataha means universe is apparent. Bhutataha, universe is real. So, the first, the word bhutataha stands for what now? The word bhutataha implies universe being real. Abhutataha implies universe being mithya. So, bhutataha, abhutataha, you take it as universe being real or mithya. Va means or, api. The srijyamane. Srijyamana means srijyamanam, that which is being created, the creation. Srijyamanam, the creation. This creation being real or the creation being mithya. No, srijyamane bhutataha abhutataha va api srijyamane. This creation being real or mithya is not mentioned in the Upanishads. Means in that way, Shrutihi sama means what? The statements of the Upanishads. Shrutihi here implies what now? Veda. Upanishad here. So Upanishadic statements, the word Shrutihi here means Upanishadic statements. Upanishadic statements regarding creation, what now, are the same. Sama, what now? I mean, Upanishad statements are impartial statements. Shrutihi sama should be understood as what now? Shrutihi is the same. Upanishadic statements are the same. Same means what? They are impartial. Impartial means what? They are neither supportive of dvaitam nor are supportive of nadvaitam. Upanishad statements do not support dvaiti or nadvaiti. How? Regarding the creation, Upanishad do not say, the statements do not convey whether the new creation is real or not. They just present universe has come into existence from Brahman, that much alone it says. It does not say, no Upanishad says, creation is real or is it mithya. If the Upanishad says universe is mithya, it is for us to use our reasoning, we have to analyze, we have to use our reasoning, arrive at the conclusion, what is a fact? Whether the universe is apparent or the creation is apparent or it is real. We have to arrive at it with support of this whole study. Finally, we have to arrive using what now? Upakrama, upasamhara, abhyasaha, apurvata, palam. We understand, with the help of the teacher, with the help of the study, systematic study, finally, through shravanam and mananam, logically also, we arrive at the fact, we just not contradict our reasoning, whether it new creation is mithya or satyam, we arrive at it. But universe, Upanishad does not say anywhere, Upanishad, the creation is mithya. It only presents, the universe has come into existence from Brahman. For a given purpose. But nor does its Upanishad say that universe's creation is real also. Therefore, bhutataha, abhutataha, srijyamane, vapi srijyamane, shrutihi sama. Then, nischitam yukti yuktam cha yad bhavat yad tadbhavati na itarate. Then what becomes the fact? Upanishad simply presenting the creation, talking about discussing the srishti, stating that the universe has come into existence from Brahman, remaining quiet in terms of whether the creation is real or not. When Upanishad presents it, how should we arrive at the fact? He says, he gives to, meaning, you know, his nischitam. Nischitam stands for shravanam. Yukti yuktam stands for mananam. Listen. So, when you listen, you are analyzing. And then, yukti yuktam, later on, when you reflect on, you are logically, you know, understanding and resolving your doubts. Isn't it? Therefore, this yukti yuktam, it must be supported by shruti statements, must be what you have heard, understood, arrived at through shravanam, is called what? Nischitam. You arrive at the knowledge, you arrive at the fact that the universe is mithya. This nischitam. How do you arrive at the fact that universe is mithya? Universe is not real, it's only apparent. How do you arrive at it? Through shravanam. Through systematic study, shravanam, you arrive at the fact. Nischitam. But what you have arrived at through shravanam, you don't simply accept it mechanically. Then, you know, analyze it logically. Then, reflect on it. Then, resolve your doubts. If at all you have any doubts, resolve those doubts. And, you know, arrive at the final conclusion. It's called yukti yuktam. Yuktihi means reasoning here, and our logic. Yuktam means endowed way. So, this shruti is what you arrive at through the shravanam should be supported by what? No, reasoning also. Yukti yuktam. What is finally arrived at? No, through reasoning, that alone is the fact. Yad bhavati tad. Yat tad bhavati. That alone becomes the fact, na itarate, not anything else. Is it clear? Not na itarate means what? Not anything else. Upanishad says, somebody says, he says, somebody else says, doesn't matter who says, where it is said. Accept anything without denying. No, be open to the teaching. Listen to the teaching, understand everything, and in the teaching itself, what now? See, the Shastram presents that. You know, two things, analysis and reasoning. We have to use both, you know. The analysis and reasoning have to be involved here to arrive at the final fact, what to arrive at the fact. So he says here, na itarat. Itarat means anything else does not become the fact. Then what becomes the fact? The fact is that what we arrive at through shravanam, then you finally conclude through mananam. So here, what are the two words here? The word nischitam stands for shravanam, yukti yuktam stands for mananam. Don't mechanically accept, which means read. That is why shravanam, without shravanam, don't go for discussions. Puja Swamiji always says this. No, people know when the Gita Homestri groups start discussing, and then coming bringing their own ideas and views and things, people get, you know, confusing other persons. So never ever, when you read it, be with what is being said there, isn't it? Because we do not know already, do not know anything. How can you go for discussions and then get into wrong understandings and conclusions? And not only you are confused, you also contribute confusions generously. So don't do that, because all that is very difficult. So be careful. Isn't it? That is why shravanam, don't go for mananam. Don't, no, first shravanam. And then when you're listening, listen from, that's why always never ever miss in between. people miss in between and then you get confused. Upanishad, you never ever search for any binary answers. Okay, always go from the beginning. For example, one person has asked a question. Why is this Vedic study, Veda Adhyayanam, only for a Brahmana, not for a Shudra? Not even that. The Shudra is not allowed to do Veda Adhyayanam because he is not eligible for Yajna Upavita Karma, Upanayana Karma. A Shudra is not eligible for the Upanayana Karma. The one who is, the Upanayana Karma is a ritual performed for initiating a child into a study of the scriptures. If a Shudra, the boy who is by birth a Shudra, is not eligible for going through that ritual of Upanayana Karma, then he is not qualified for studying the Veda. If he is not qualified for studying the Veda, then he cannot pursue knowledge. Which means if he can't study the Shastram, scriptures, then he cannot attain Jnanam. Which means there is no moksha for him. Then somebody asks such questions. It is said somewhere, a Shudra is not eligible for Upanayana Karma. Why is it said? What is it said? What is meant by that? And who is deprived of knowledge? Nobody. It's a public unlimited property. Nobody. Everybody's birthright. Moksha is everybody's birthright. You have to discover your own sarupam. Who can stop you, prevent you from discovering your sarupam? Nobody can stop it. So nobody is deprived of jnanam here. In fact, Shastram, the whole Shastram is for the entire humanity, the well-being of the entire society, entire humanity. Everybody, whoever is a Shudra also, the whole Shastram teaches the way of life to convert, to break the tamas in the Shudra, convert him into a Kshatriya, and later on to break, to convert this hyper-rajas in him into a Sattvic person, thereby help him to prepare his mind for an ultimate to discover the truth. The whole teaching is, the whole way of life presented in the Shastram is for helping a Shudra to uplift himself to become a Brahmana. Nobody is deprived, nobody is denied knowledge here. This is a fact. We cannot call it a Shastram. Why do we call it Shastram? Vedaha Shastram iti kimartam uchyate. Why is it called Shastram? Always, that is why if somebody asks you these questions, because people only take these things from Indian, they see that black box of Indian things. The widow, all under the widow suffering and all those things, they take and point out. What is said, when is it said, how is it said, they don't understand head and tail of what is being said. Shankara might have said somewhere in a place, no, Shudra is not eligible for Upanayana Karma. That does not mean that sentence must be understood in a given context properly. Because there is no comprehensive study. You just read a bit of that and bit of this and then make conclusions and then criticize everything. That is what good, the same way here also. Whenever our conclusions are wrong conclusions, and when the wrong conclusions do not become actually not serve any purpose. We want to arrive at a fact which serves, even if we are not interested in facts which are not useful for us. Isn't it? There are so many facts. We are interested in such a fact that which will be useful for us, which will free us from bondage. So, here, which means always study systematically. That's why Shravanam is so important. He says that nischitam, without being clear about what you have understood, you have not even understood correctly, then don't arrive at the conclusion. That's what he says. And also, even if you have understood, apply reasoning, then understand it. Yat bhavati, yat bhavati, na itarat. That alone becomes the fact. Tadeva satyam bhavati na itarat. Anything else other than that does not become the fact. Is it clear? Therefore, what he wants to say is the final conclusion must be after Shravanam and Mananam, not before that. Don't immediately ask the question. When you are studying Upanishads, don't ask questions in between. Do Shravanam, do Shravanam, do Shravanam, 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 Shravanam for a long time. Then again be with Mananam, then you arrive at the conclusion. Immediately, as soon as you hear something, don't immediately interrupt the teacher and ask the questions. Keep listening. That's the lesson. And how to analyze and how to apply reasoning. That is our homework, isn't it? It's our work. But still, Gaudapada Acharya Ji wants to teach us how to analyze and how to use, how to apply reasoning, how to arrive at the right conclusion, right, arrive at the fact. So, for which he says, he quotes this now. In the 24th. The word nischitam, which implies Shravanam, in fact, that is discussed here, how to analyze, the method of analysis, you know, he presents from 24th to 26th. And how to use reasoning, that apply reasoning, that he teaches from 27th to 30th. So the word nischitam is discussed again in from 24th to 26th. 24th, 25th, 26th, three karikas. Then the word yukti-yuktam is again discussed in the rest of the 4 month karikas until the 30th. 27th, 8th, 9th and 30th. These two words, the nischitam, yukti-yuktam are again discussed in the rest of the verses. In this verse now, Nehana neti Cham nayad Indro maya bhirityapi. Ajaya mano bahudha Maya jayate jayate tusaha. See here, in the whole 24th karika, that whole 24th karika, he presents now different shruti, quotations from different Upanishads. Neha nana iti is one Upanishadic quotation. Neha nana iti. This neha nana, neha nana, na iha nana. Iti. As the first quotation. How do you understand what a quotation? The quotation is indicated by this indeclinable word iti. Iti means thus. Thus says. Okay. Na iha na na. That's the first. Na iha na na is one quotation. The quotation ends there. The quotation ending there indicated by the word iti. Na iha na 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 kinchana. Nasti na nasti here. Neha na neti kinchana. Is a sentence in the, it comes in Upanishad. And this quotation is from where? Kathopanishad. Second chapter. It's the 11th mantra. The first section of second chapter of Kathopanishad. In it, second chapter, the 11th mantra, this 11th mantra in the first section of second chapter of Kathopanishad, he wrote now, Neha Nanasti Kinchana. So he only first one quotation, Neha Nana Iti, that's one mantra. So Nana means what? Many. Nana means variety, so plurality. So, kinchana means little. So, na kinchana, Neha nanasti kinchana means there, to say there is no plurality at all. There is no plurality at all, absolutely, really. There is no plurality at all. This is one quotation. This also Upanishad says there is no plurality at all. And when na iha nana asti, this statement is in the present tense. Present tense means what? In waking state, at present, when you are experiencing this universe, how are you experiencing? The plurality you are experiencing now, right now in front of you, is not at all there. It is like saying, isn't it? Denying. Your perception is accepted, but your conclusion has to be, what? No, different. Like how, no, nana asti, there's no plurality. You have to say what? No, there's no real plurality of water, waves. Can you say that when you see the ocean? Of course, we have in your perception is a plurality of waves. But how, what should you say? Absolutely, in reality, in fact, there is no plurality at all. Is it? It's only water. Similarly, Upanishad states very clearly, Neha nanasti kinchana. In Kathopanishad, it's one, so one quotation. He goes to next one.
Amnayadindro
Mayabihi Ityapi. There again, Amnayat Indro Mayabihi iti another quotation. Indro Mayabihi. The quotation ending is indicated by the word iti. Indro Mayabihi iti. It means one reality, one Lord alone, appears as many. This is the Mayabihi means what now? Only one reality appears as many. Understand? Appears as many. Indraha is the Lord here. I don't want to go into details there. The one Lord alone appears as many means what? One water alone appears as many waves. Absolutely there is no plurality at all is one. But one reality alone appears as many is another statement. Indro Mayabihi iti. So that is second, Indro Mayabihi, that quotation is from where? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So in the second chapter, it is called Madhu Brahmanam. In the fifth section, this is the mantra. No, 19th mantra. Okay, the 19th mantra from Madhu Brahmanam, fifth section of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. One alone appears as many. The second quotation. The next line is very simple, you all like it. It's from, the whole line is one quotation from Purusha Suktam. So totally he presents three quotations in that one karika. Ajayamano bahuda jayate. You would have read it, isn't it? Ajayamanaha bahuda jayate. Being unborn, no, the birthless, unborn, no, seems to be born many times. Bahudaha seems to be born in many ways. Unborn seems to be born. Isn't it? Like pot space seems to be born. Really it is not born, isn't it? Seems to have been born. Therefore, ajayamanaha bahuda jayate. The unborn seems to be born in many ways, many forms. One alone appears as many. And then, you know, there is no plurality at all. These three different quotations he presents in this 24th karika. What does it mean? All these statements are also there in other different Upanishads. What does it mean? When you study, understand one Upanishad, you don't know, but that is why systematic study, when you do Shravanam, you have to remember finally what now, what Taittiriyam says, what Mandukya says, what Kathopanishad says, what Brihadaranyaka says, what Chandogyam says, and you have to see everything. Which means all the Upanishads, finally, all the Upanishads convey one fact alone. Isn't it? This the words are different. The teaching is the same. He presents mainly what now. What he wants to say is, you never ever make conclusions immediately reading a given passage of any Upanishad. Especially this Srishti. Because it's very, very attractive thing in any Upanishad is Srishti. Because we all like to be born. We all like to be created by God. We want to be children of God. We want to be children of God because the very idea is very nice. I'm child of God. We're all children of God. Children of God. We're all gods actually. We're all God. Not even gods. Like, you know, we want to be children of God because in feeling, in saying, in thinking, in remembering, I'm a child of God, I feel so secure. I can go and hide in his pant pocket. So that's where I can go and protect myself. Because we all like to be protected, secure. Emotionally, we feel very insecure to say we are outsiders. No, we want to be somehow related to God, and the closest to the God is God's child. So we are all children of God. Which means what? We are children of God means we feel very secure. Isn't it? Therefore, this idea is very nice. Therefore, we like to, when Upanishad says everything has come into existence from Brahman, we are very happy with that. Upanishad says, let us hold on to that. Therefore, duality is real. Creation is real. No, the knower known difference is real. Jiva Ishvara difference is real. All these differences are real. Creation is real. Dvaitam is real. Heaven is real. And I can go to heaven, do karma, be righteous, go to heaven, so somehow I can become close, isn't it? You always think of going and reaching and attaining and sitting very close to Bhagavan, holding tight his feet so that I won't let anybody else go close to him. Understand? That all problems will come. He says, no, even though Upanishad says, that's why read the whole Upanishad. Understand the whole Upanishad. When you are studying Upanishad, any Vedantic text, in between doubts may come. Be with the teaching. How much has been covered, that much you have understood. You understood what has been said, but still doubts will be there. The text has not yet been completed. The whole teaching text is not completed means wait for the teacher to complete the text before you make your conclusions or before asking questions. We will not wait. That is why in India what happened, the problem is you have to wait for the teacher to complete. Isn't it? That's why there's no such a thing called a discussion at all. Discussion, analysis, all those things should be followed later on, after the teacher completes the teaching. The text must be completed. But what we do, in between we start. Isn't it? Because we break our head. This must be, this can be, this can be, this can't be. Therefore, why he points out here, because the main question, the answer here is, all these verses, there is no Srishti, there is no creation, there is only manifestation. Only if there is only manifestation means there is no Karanam, there is no Karyam. All that is here is only Paramatma. That is what the vision. When you say all that is here is only Paramatma, you are not there, Jagat also is not there. I am always not there. You, along with you in your resolving your identity, in resolving your individuality, you resolve all the problems with the main problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I, that problem also becomes resolved. When you are not there, how can your problem exist outside of you, apart from you? Isn't it? Along with you, the Kundod Kailasa means what? You become resolved. Kundod Kailasa means you become resolved. Along with you, your problems also get resolved without being in, you know, you don't need to resolve anything here. Everything becomes resolved. Then you do not see anything other than, you know, the Jagat also is not there, really speaking. Everything, that's why born, knower, known, karana, karya, all the Vedas will resolve in the vision of the truth. Then you will say, there is no karanam, there is no karyam, there is no jagat, there is no jiva, there is no nothing. Buddhihi nasti, padaha nasti, deha nasti, no, shastra class nasti, don't say. Okay, so nasti, nothing is, everything, you know, everything is not there. This is the wish, isn't it? Therefore, but that is the purpose, which means the presentation of Srishti itself is for negating this Srishti. Don't ever, this is the only one fact you need to remember for past three classes. Last class, previous class, this class also. This class is just not a class, okay, I'm just telling you this. So at least now he is presenting these quotations. See, even when Gaudapa Acharyaji presents his quotations, he just says, okay, one Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Madhu Brahmanam, fifth section from this 19th mantra says this. What is this? One Ishwara alone appears as many. Maya bihi Indraha bahudna. Indra, the Lord alone appears as many. There's no plurality at all. Where is the plurality? Where is the duality? Where are you? Where is the universe? There's only Paramatma. This is the vision given in Kathopanishad, isn't it? And Purusha Suktam says, Virat, Purusha Suktam presents the whole Virat. The whole Jagat you experience is Ishvara. Manifest Ishvara is, manifest universe is Ishvara. Manifestation of Ishvara is this whole Jagat. All that you are experiencing, even the unknown for you. Which means, so Ajayamanaha, the is very important. Jayamanaha means one who is born. Ajayamanaha means one who is not born. Pirakkadavan piranda palavahat tondruhiran. No, the one who is unborn appears to have been born as many. Ajayamanaha bahuda mayaya jayate. Purushasuktam, which means all those statements also there in the Upanishads. Don't see only tasmadva ye tasmad atmanaha akashaka sambhutaha. Don't see only that alone. See this also. Then take both. Why that was said in that context? Why this is said later on again? Why this is said? Think. Don't think yourself with the help of the teacher, help of the, again, the supportive other statements. Understand. Is it clear? Therefore, then you arrive at it. This is what he says in this 24th verse. I think I'll stop here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.